is the power, the protection, and the provision of prophetic community. And so we've been looking at our two pillars in the house, and we are seeing many going out and reaching the nations. Part of the gold leaf is about sending out and praying and having healing to the nations. The leaves of the trees become the healing of the nations, and that's why we have that gold leaf symbol in the house. So I wanted to encourage us around being in community, being in prophetic community, but what that looks like for us. And just a little bit of a wrap up as the year comes towards an end for us. What an exciting year we've had. It's just been powerful in so many ways. And many times we are responding as a leadership team, as individuals, as youth team, etc., to the words that God has brought our way. And we've been carrying those words through our hearts, to our homes, to our families, and to the wider community. So we were in Kings. We've been looking at Elijah and Elisha quite a lot recently, and I highly recommend, if you haven't listened to the last month's messages or if you've missed one, please go and have a look, because I believe God is building his word for us as a community. Last week, we had an epic message from Andrew Zimmerman about traveling at the speed of relationship. Such a powerful message, so deep and so much truth in it that really listening to it once is not enough. I would encourage you to keep listening to that and keep marinating in that word. If you're visiting with us or you're watching online, you can access those through Facebook and through our website on YouTube. So please go and have a listen to those. But if you want to, please open your word in 2 Kings chapter 4. Found this very interesting portion of scripture while I was searching in the Lord for what he wanted me to bring. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to go to verse 38. Elisha returned to Gilgal. Note these words. And there was a famine in that region. Now, a famine is not just we don't have, you know, we can't have one meal. It's pretty dire. The situation for them was dire. There was very little food and not enough to go around. And while the company of prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and cook some stew for these prophets." Interesting there, it says, while the company of prophets was meeting with him. In the Word of God, on quite a few occasions, we hear about this company, this group of prophets who lived together, learned together, were under the authority of a noted prophet in the land, and they went from place to place. And today we're going to be looking at the places that they went to. We've been learning through Aaron's preaching and Rory's preaching that the name of places is very significant. And when we're reading in the Word, it's really good to look at those names and see what they actually mean and what they're communicating to us. So here he is. He's asking one of them to actually, his servant, actually to put on a large pot and cook some stew for these prophets. One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine and picked as many of its gourds as his garment could hold. So gourds are like a fruit or a vegetable with a harder outer shell, a fleshy inner, and some of them are edible and some of them are not. So he went out, gathered some of these, as many as he could get in his garment, and when he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, and though no one knew what they were, the stew was poured out for the men, but as they began to eat it, they cried out, "Man of God, there is death in this pot," and they could not eat it. So it's a little bit disappointing when you have a meal prepared for you and you know that it's going to kill you. So good that they were prophets, because they probably discerned the fact that this was not good to be eating. But it says, like, there's death in this pot, don't eat it. And Elisha, the prophet, says to them, "Get some flour." He put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people to eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Such an interesting account, and one that I want to base off for what we're going to speak about today. This company of seers, or this company of prophets, it is said were met in these different places. So I'm going to name the places, and then I'm just going to go through the places and what they mean to us as prophetic community. The places that they were at were Ramah, Bethel, Gilgal, Jericho, Carmel, and Samaria. So I just want to go through those and what they actually mean. And then as I'm speaking, it'll kind of start to come together and make sense. Ramah, The meanings of these names are very important. Ramah means height. Bethel means the house of God. Gilgal, the circle of stones. Jericho, a place of fragrance, his sweet breath, or a new moon. Carmel, God's vineyard, God's garden, or God's orchard. And Samaria, the watch mountain or the watch tower. Interesting, these places where these people went to. And they went to these places because significant historical things had happened, both in the natural and in the spirit in each of these places. So, where we choose to be and where we choose to set up camp personally and collectively has great significance for our own lives and for our community and for the kingdom. The word of God speaks to us in Psalm 92. We'll be in the Psalms quite a bit today, verses 12 to 15. The righteous will flourish like a date palm, long-lived, upright, and useful. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic and stable, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. There's a planting for each of us in a place, in a house, in God's house, by Him. And it's super significant for us to know that we are planted by God. The place that we choose to worship God is a planting of God. And when He plants us, then all of these other things come to pass. We flourish, we live long, we're useful, there's majesty in it, there's stability in it, etc. Growing in grace, they will thrive and bear fruit and prosper in old age. That's a good word. They will flourish and be vital and fresh, rich in trust, love, and contentment. This is the joy of being in the fellowship of God's house. They are living memorials to declare that the Lord is upright and faithful to His promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. When we are planted by God in a place, we start to flourish. And then generationally, there is flourishing as well. And it's great to see in our house, there's grandparents, there's children, there's grandchildren, there's even great-grandchildren, and God is showing by these who have been planted a testimony of His goodness and of His grace. And I'm sure that all of you in this house, as you feel planted here at Rivers, if you're part of this, that you will be benefiting greatly from being planted, from being in God's house, but also from those who went before. And this year we've celebrated a lot around those who went before. And this is about these places where the seers and the company of seers were, they were often celebrating what God had already done going into the thin places of God. This whole concept around what Andrew spoke about last week of moving and walking in the speed of relationship, and what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart this week, is encapsulated in Hebrews 10. So if you go to Hebrews 10, we're going to go to verse 19. And this is the way that Jesus gave us to live. It's called a new and living way. The new and living way. You'll find that is probably a header in your word if you have some of the different versions. Verse 19, Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, believers, since we have confidence and full freedom to enter the holy place where God dwells by means of the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way which He initiated and opened up for us through the veil, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God. I just want to pause there. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, we know that they rule over their household. This morning we were singing about God's house. There is a place where people of God, the prophetic people of God, gather together. And it's a different place than where we are alone in the garden. This week I was listening a lot to that old hymn, I Walk Alone with Him in the Garden. It's a beautiful old hymn, so go and have a look at it. And it's where the dew is and where we fellowship with Him, like Adam, that alone place. And Andrew was exhorting us to do that last week. But there is a place and a house that God rules over, His household. And this is our high priest, Jesus. He rules over us, and let us approach God with true and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance of faith, having had our hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is reliable, trustworthy, and faithful. So if God says that it's good enough, right? He is reliable. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. And if he says it, it's a good idea, right? It's a good idea. And you know what? God's good ideas are not for him. He is God. They're for us. They're for us. Then in verse 24, it says, and let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to do love and to do good deeds. To love and do good deeds. Moving at the speed of relationship. Loving first, loving one another, engaging in each other's lives, helping one another, and then into the space of doing good deeds. It's true, we do need to do good works and good deeds. The Word of God is very clear about that. Faith without works is dead, but then works without faith is also dead. So it's not great to be doing relationship and nothing with that. Eventually becomes a place of no fruit, but if we're doing all works and no relationship, that's also not the best place to be. So there's an amazing symmetry of working in the place of love and then working for the kingdom. So last week, Andrew was speaking about this Rama space. Rama, the height. Come up higher. In the book of Revelation, we are exhorted to come up higher, to be in that holy place with God. Rory did such a classic word on this. She said that the glory is for you, but the anointing is for others. So the mix on that is the Rama place is that glory place. It's the high place. It's the place of meeting with God, either alone, or with your family, or with a group of people together. But then, when that is all good, then the place of Bethel works well. Then the house of God works well. If we're in fellowship with God and in communion with God, walking at the speed of relationship, then all is good here personally. And that way, all is good here with community and as we go out and do what the Lord has asked us to do. So we know that Bethel, so we've got Rama, we've spoken about that, and Bethel, the house of God, this is a place of coming together. This is a place that Abram pitched his tents. He decided this was the place to be. And we know that generationally, this is a place of tremendous blessing. It's a thin place. It's where Jacob has the ladder of angels ascending and descending. There are powerful symbolisms there and accounts there of a thin place. This is a place that's a good place to go to. And I would encourage us, I must say, obviously I'm somewhat biased, but I reckon Rivers Apostolic Center is a thin place. It is a good place for us to be. This year we celebrated Jubilee, so many amazing things where we had gone from place to place to place to place, just like Abram did, and then he came and he decided this was the spot. And we've been planted here, Rivers Apostolic Center. We are planted in this community, and God is just about to start ramping up some significant supernatural things in the community from this community. So it's the both and. We've got our both of our pillars working together in symmetry with one another. We did a lot of Gilgal this year. We did a lot of Mizpahs. We went from place to place. So here's a place of Gilgal. This is a place of remembrance. It's where the stones were put. It's where the area was where they actually decided this was where they were going to memorialize what God had done from Egypt through the desert place into the crossing over place. And we've been doing that all year. We've been talking about crossing over, thresholds. Hans started with the Hannah prayers and so on and so forth, and how the angels are pushing people over that last threshold. And God has been doing this over and over again. So we had memorial upon memorial, wonderful times in the Lord. But then we've been exhorted recently on Area 51. And I don't know about you, but I love a good conspiracy theory. So sorry for those of you who don't. But Area 51, we've been speaking about this because we've gone from Jubilee at 50 to now into Area 51. And Area 51 is like, this is the new thing. This is the start. But we all know that there is this place in the desert in the U.S. called Area 51. And Area 51 is often spoken about of extraterrestrial things. And that means supernatural things, things that aren't natural. They speak about aliens in there. You know, are there aliens? Who knows, right? However, there are a few things about Area 51 that we can relate to from community point of view. Area 51, you have to have authority to be in Area 51. You can't go in there. It's got a border around it. And as believers, we have the authority to be in God's place. He has given us. We don't give ourselves the authority. He gives us authority. We're talking about a high priest who rules over his house. We're under authority. So we have the authority to be in that place. The Word of God says that we are aliens as believers. So that's quite an interesting good thing. Go and look that up for the young people who are doing the Blue Letter Bible. Go and check that one out and see what that actually means. We are different from the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Right? We operate under authority, under God's authority, but obviously under different authority structures because God is into leadership. God is into leadership. God gives the gift of leadership. So there are authority structures that we have there. But we also, as individual believers, have authority. We were just with a family yesterday praying with them and encouraging them about the fact that in Luke 10, verse 19, it says, I have given you, Jesus saying to his disciples, I have given authority to you to trample on snakes and scorpions, overcome all of the work of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm you. So we do have authority. God has given us authority to be able to overcome. And when we come into community, we are authorized by God to be there, but we are all under authority to be there. Also, this place, Area 51 in the United States, although there's many theories about it, the main purpose of it is for flight testing. Vehicle, unusual, very fast, very necessary for security of their nation, vehicles. So, for us as a community, it's a very good place. Our place, Area 51, this beginning, is a good place to test things, testing things. And in prophecy, as a prophetic community in the New Testament, we are encouraged to test the word and to test prophecies. So we are able to do that well and easily, to know what the crazy supernatural speed of God is. But we also have the safety in community to be able to test different things. And so there's been a lot around prophecy. I'm not going to dive too far into that today, but it is the beginning of something that I believe the Lord wants me to bring slowly but surely. But around prophecy, we are not to ignore prophecy and not have it, but we are to be mature and grow into a place of reliable prophecy. And so we have many different opportunities in the fellowship of God to be able to test prophecy. Might be at your home group, it might be at your youth group, it might be at a discipleship group or whatever that may be. But we know that from time to time in these areas where testing has happened, we have a helicopter that comes in and hovers over and is allowed to go into that place. And as a community here, we have those people who are amazing, strong, tested prophets who will come into the house and bring words into the house. And we have been able to pick those up and run with them. Just around about the beginning of the year, a lady by the name of Sandra came into this house and she said, this is the year of divine appointments. Soon as she said that, it opened up something over our community that people were not thinking about before, but that actually brought power and provision onto that word. And time and time and time again throughout this whole year, we've heard of not only Rory getting amazing divine appointments, but multiples of people in the community having divine appointments in God. So something released over the community. Can we test that word? Is it proven? Absolutely. It's a very, very good word. So we trust from time to time people who come in. We've got consultants who come in and will bring a word, or trusted prophetic people. And then as I look across the community this morning, there's many people here who have had a prophetic word from a trusted prophet who's come, and it's shifted them and the whole community gets in with what the Lord has said over that person. We also have amazing prophets in the house who encourage one another and pray for one another and who speak to one another. In our intercessory team, from time to time, people will bring things to the leadership team, and it's so exciting for us because actually there's that divine connection when we come together as believers. And it's a yes, it's a confirmation, it can be a revelation, it's something that we pray into, and we start to see what God has done. And last week we had this word from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. God has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. Prophecy comes in God's time, the outworking of that, sometimes very quickly. We've had prophecies this year in this house that came to pass the next day. So it can be super quick. But it also can take a while, and we can have generational words as well. But it says, he has also planted eternity in the human heart. He's planted eternity in our hearts, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. And we know that. We know that eternity has been planted into our hearts, and we've responded to the God of all eternity, become born-again believers. And this is the power of community. When we all come together, we are carrying, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We all carry that wherever we go, and God is with us. But when we come together, there is a power that shifts. There is a joy. And there is a worship, and there is a higher place that we can individually go to when we come together in community. Things change. There's an elevation on that. It's a place of divine connection with God when we come together, but it's a place of divine connection with one another. And it's so wonderful. I have the joy to be able to see from a different perspective lots of different things happening and how God, through community, answers people's prayers and their prophetic words. Because God will say one thing to one person, another thing to another person in the community. It comes together, and there's the divine connection that God has made. So it's super exciting. So I want to encourage you to keep listening. This morning, Dan was saying in the crosshairs in that place, in communion, go and just sit and hear from God. Hear what he's saying. And we hear for ourselves, but we also hear for those around us. So be encouraged to be in that place of hearing, but also blessing out into the community. Rory spoke about seeds. And this here is a result of that word. So a number of you took seeds home and planted them and tended them and nurtured them. And that's what can happen in community. We come back with first fruits, the evidence, faith, calling those things that are not as though they already were at the time, the seed word, and here's evidence of that. So we encourage each other in community, and we're like, yay, do you remember the seed word? Do you remember what God said? Have you planted your seed? Do you know what that is? Recently, I was in worship, and the Lord said to me, I want you to go to a certain house and take a hammer and take a nail, and I want you to hit that nail into the ground. These are unusual, you know, little unctions that the Lord will give you to go and do. We were just about to head to Tonga, and my time was very short, and I thought, I'll wait. As soon as I get back from Tonga, I'll go and do that prophetic action. And when I came back, we came back very early in the morning, on the Sunday morning, but both Rory and myself felt to come to church that morning. So we came in, and when we came in, just so happened that Andrew Zimmerman was speaking on VAV. And it was in October, and he said, make sure that you do your VAV. Put up your hand if you did your VAV. Did people have VAVs that they did? Awesome. What date he said? The 31st of October. Make sure you do it then. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, God, you know, had told me to go and do this. And he said, do it by the 31st. So we're interacting prophetically in the community with one another. So I went along and did my little VAV, and God's going to do some amazing things from that. So please bring back the stories of the community of what God has done for your VAV. Because when we see the results, we are what? Encouraged. And that original word there from Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake gathering together. What? So that you might be what? Encouraged. So we can encourage one another. What does it mean? We get courage, right? We get courage to do the crazy things that God tells us to do. It's amazing, super exciting. So, a place of divine connection. We know that Joshua took the people because he held his relationship with God all the way through. He stayed in the meeting tent. He was in the Lord. He was in the Ramah place all the time. He was privileged to take the people over to the promised land. But they set up a tent and a community space there of meeting. And then they go into the place of Jericho, their first place. So Gilgal, they've set up the stones. They go and set up their tents, and they're waiting on the Lord. And the Lord says, we go to Jericho. As a community, quite often we are encouraged to go as a people in the promised land, in the now time of the Lord, in the Jubilee Area 51 place. We are encouraged to go and do big things. And the reality is, God never meant for us to do them alone. That Joshua gets all of his people together, and they're going to go and take Jericho. Jericho, we know, means the place of fragrance, his sweet breath, and the beginning of new things. I don't think that they initially would have thought that this was a great place of a sweet fragrance. It looked pretty fortified. The area of Jericho had huge walls, like we heard about last week, and it was impenetrable. In a community of faith, when things are impenetrable, God gives supernatural, divine ways to break through. And often we need the whole community to do that. And this amazing, crazy war method that God gives to the Israelites is what? To praise together. To praise together, to walk around praising, to send the praises ahead. High praise. High praise was a word that we got from the Lord as a leadership team, and God said, high praise needs to be restored to the house. So if you see praise happening regularly, we are obeying a word from God, a prophetic word from God, and on that high praise, we are seeing breakthrough in the community. A take up of high praise. So get used to being even more undignified than this. The word of God in one of the descriptions of praise is being clamorously foolish before the Lord. So those dancers who were holding back just a little bit today, jump in there and, you know, and get moving. Be praising, be using your flags, be getting in there and doing what God has told you to do. There is a place of sanctuary for believers, and we can come together for sanctuary. There is a personal place of sanctuary that we have with the Lord, but this is a place where we come together. And the word of God says this in Ephesians. It says, do not get drunk with wine, a good word for the season, for that is wickedness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and be constantly guided by him. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to the God of the Father of all things in the name of our Lord Jesus, being what? Subject to one another. How's that going for you? How are you going with being subject to one another in community? Are we able to be subject to one another as the household? Because there is strength in us being subject to one another. It's a funny thing, hey, because in the world and in our minds, sometimes we think being subject to somebody is not a good thing. But the word of God is contrary. Aaron was speaking today, lean not on your own understanding. Word of God says, let's be subject to one another, because there is strength in the family of God. There is strength in kingdom. So there is a place of sanctuary. So Joshua's got his people there. They decide what they're going to do. And then they're going to praise. They're going to praise. And I want to read out some psalms. I'm going to go fast, but you can grab them quickly. Psalm 40 says, I have proclaimed good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Behold, I will not restrain my lips from proclaiming your righteousness, as you know, O Lord. I have not concealed righteousness within my heart. I have proclaimed your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from who? The great assembly. Getting together and sharing the joy of the Lord. Getting together and sharing your joys and what's happening with you. Sharing your trials, but also getting together as a people to worship. There is a big movement of, we don't need to come together. We can just worship as our family ourselves. I want to encourage you, this is actually not biblical. It's not biblical. So if you're a child of God, do what the word of God says. Be in fellowship. Worship. come to the house of the Lord, wherever the Lord leads you, where he has planted you. I'm not saying come to this house. I'm saying come to the house that the Lord has planted you in. But if the Lord's planted you here, be present. Apostle Rory says something. She says, presence is power. You can watch online, and I know from time to time we're constrained to have to watch online for whatever reason. But the reality is that God wants us to be in actual fellowship together with one another because he knows that it's good for us. There's power, there's provision, and there's protection with community. Hallelujah. God is so good what he gives us to do. So more and more you'll be hearing in this area of our building, because we've got an amazing, blessed, large building, we will be calling this space the sanctuary. It's a word that helps us to understand that this is the place that we come to honor God, to proclaim his goodness in the assembly together with one another. It's why we encourage all the young people not to go into the kitchen or the sound desk while the service is on. Because in the place of sanctuary, there is a connection with the divine and there's a connection with the family of God that is unique and doesn't happen in other places. The church, by God's grace, is one of the places where intergenerational blessing, honor, and community is happening and will continue to happen. It's very rare in the world nowadays. We've got the youth culture, and you've got the emo culture, and you've got the old age home, and you've got the children's nursery. But here we have community, and this is God's blessing to us. So another psalm, Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, Shalana, and praise him in the congregation of his lovely ones. Where? In the congregation, together with others, praise together. This is what the Lord is saying to us. Psalm 22, my praise will be of you in where the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who reverently fear him. Wow. There's a lot that the Lord is encouraging us to do together. I will praise him collectively with others, and I will pay my vows made in times of trouble to him. In other words, when there's a difficulty and God comes through for me and we've got 30 intercessors praying for you and your family circumstance, you come back and you testify, we all get the joy. We all get the joy of breakthrough. Darren's testimony, when he comes back to share with us that there's been breakthrough, we all get that joy together. Collective joy. Nothing quite like it. God is so, so good. So I have this poetry book here, the Psalms, from the Passion Translation. And I just wanted to read the first couple of verses of Psalm 122, 1-2-2. I was overjoyed when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. I was overjoyed. And some scriptures say, I was glad. I was very glad when they said, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Talking about Jerusalem and the place where all the people used to go as a community to celebrate God and to celebrate his goodness. Now, there's a young lady in the house. I want to give her this. So the young lady that we met yesterday, I just believe from the Lord that this is a book for you. This young lady has singing on her life. She's not singing at the moment, but I'm just going to give it to her. There we go. Psalms. This is a book of Psalms. This is David who writes songs. And I believe that the Lord for you has a songwriting anointing for you to bring hope, bring joy, and bring life to your community. So God bless you. Enjoy the book. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Young people. Isn't it amazing? Divine connections. We go and meet a family, and this family are from Fiji, but they've got heritage in Tonga. What's God saying to this house, specific in the Pacific? It's like, wow, ping, 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 prophetic community. It's super exciting to be in the Lord. So moving along, we've got a few minutes to go. The next place that the company of seers or prophets meet is a place called Carmel. And Carmel, we know, is a place of great overcoming, great victory, great heights in the Lord. And we know this word means God's vineyard. And this is one of God's most amazing things of being in prophetic community. We lived in New Zealand at the top of the South Island for a number of years, and vineyards were just planted. It is the prolific wine-growing area and fetches the highest price for particular wines in the world because of the conditions there. But seeing these vineyards and seeing what happens is it's a 24-hour-a-day place. It's all in together, many people coming together, doing different chores, different jobs, different good works to make sure that the vine is planted well, to make sure that the vines are well tended, to make sure that it's pruned correctly at the right time, to make sure that the leaves are taken off when they need to make sure that the temperature is just right. Temperature is huge in the growing of wine grapes, grapes for wine. They're not great to eat. Not a good idea to grab them for your table. They're not table grapes, but certain types of grapes for the vineyard to grow and then for them to go through processing. Then there's a lot of processing. There's a lot of crushing that happens. Those grapes are all harvested at a particular day, and they wait, and many of them watch the moon, watch for that new moon, watch for the right time, and then they pick. And when they pick, it's all on. Everyone's in, everyone's harvesting, and then everyone is part of the beginning of the process of fermentation. They all restricted these grapes into vats, then there's fermentation that happens, and then there's testing. Testing and trying, testing and trying. Is the flavor right? Is the texture right? Is the timing right for those to be bottled and then to be sent out into all the world? From the region that we were in, those wines went all over the world to be enjoyed for celebrations and other things in people's lives. I'm not talking about whether you should drink alcohol or not. The word is very clear. Just don't get drunk on wine. But this is a different topic. We, as God's household, and the Carmel place of overcoming the work of the enemy in the world and coming together, are like those who are in a vineyard. We are in God's vineyard. He is the vine, and he is the vine dresser. And we are under his authority. We're under his choosing. We're under his timing. Sometimes those grapes will take short for a quick burst, a fresh, young wine. Other times it will take a long, long time for those grapes to be processed, to produce a certain type of maturity in the taste that might be then sent out into the world. Sounds a lot like the congregation of God. Sounds a lot like the house of God. Everyone doing their own part. Sometimes somebody's being pruned. Sometimes someone's bearing fruit. Sometimes someone's being sent out. Sometimes someone's in the vat and having a hard time, and they're being crushed and it's difficult. But yet we're all together in the same vineyard with the same label, with the most amazing tasting new wine of the Lord. This is the Carmel place. Don't be isolated in your Carmel place. Be with people to encourage each other. When there's difficulty, be around your fellow believers to be able to encourage you. Don't isolate yourself, especially in this season when Christmas comes. You know, when Jesus came and he was birthed, there was a lot going on. And that's the same as this season every year. There's a lot going on. Don't be isolated. Be with your community. Celebrate with your community and be encouraged there. Amazing short testimony about a young man that we met recently who's from New Zealand, actually from the area that we had lived in. But he came on holiday with friends of ours and to have some ministry time. He's having a hard time in his family, very difficult things happening for him. And he is a young winemaker in the area. He's studied viticulture, and he has received honor and awards for new wine that he has made, so new types of wine that he's been experimenting with. But this young man was in his own vineyard, in the worldly vineyard, and he came and he became born again on the Gold Coast of Queensland. Good things happen in Queensland, right? So he was born again, and it was super exciting. And the Lord said to me, actually on the morning, Aaron had gone ahead to meet with these families, and I could only come a day later. And I came to meet him, and on the morning, the Lord said to me, buy this book for this young man. And I've never met him before, but the book was one of the blessing books of daily devotions, and all over the front of it, it had grapes and vines. And it was all about the vineyard and the vine dresser and all sorts of things. I don't know. I just thought it was a little bit girly to give to a boy, but you just have to obey what the girl, what God says to you to do. So I was like, oh, it looks a bit girly, but anyway, I'll take it along. And so off we went, and he became born again. When he did, I prayed for him, and the John word came about the vine and being grafted in, obviously. I had then heard that he was in that, and then gave him the book. I gave him the book and prayed for him. He went away. They went and had a chat with some of the men, and Aaron was there, and he gave his heart to the Lord. He said, nobody could have known what these verses meant to me. Only I know that in his life. So he became born again. But while he was there, he has an amazing gift in music, just singing. He's a minstrel. He just plays and sings. He writes songs, plays and sings. Amazing thing. And he was very shy about his gift and very backwards and coming forwards to share. And his songs were very sad songs, because they were representing, you know, his current situation. But we prayed with him and we said we really believe that God had given him this gift to bless other people and to bring hope and to bring life and to bring joy. That young man has just enrolled in music to be able to do that as his life and his career. In the vineyard of God, things shift, things change, and whatever the Lord has put inside of us comes out and is a real blessing to many other people. And I believe that he will be a blessing. The songs that he writes will bring hope. And that's just listening for a few seconds to what God is telling you to do. And not to be shy to do something that seems contrary to what you think might be practical for somebody in their life. So I want to share a story, because this is actually where the beginning of this message happened, and I do need to give big credit to Chris Valatin from the Bethel Movement to share a prophetic story about the power of community. Many of you, put your hand up if you know about Danny Silk. Have you heard about Danny Silk? The Bethel Movement, Loving Our Kids on Purpose, is his books. There's a young lady here who knows him very well, who's written the book Loving Our Students, Our School Students on Purpose. So Chris tells a story. I'm going to tell it super quickly because it's quite a long story, but I suggest you go back and listen to testimony to hear about this. But Chris Valatin is running mechanic shops. He's working in a small town, Weaverville, in the United States. And there's this young man who comes to do an apprentice type of work there, but he's a pretty difficult young character. He's in the drug scene. He's doing a lot of alcohol, and he's part of gangs, little gang things with sales of illicit substances and so on. And so Chris keeps on telling him about Jesus. He keeps on testifying, and he keeps on. Don't grow weary, people. Keep on testifying. So he's testifying to this young man. And eventually this young man leaves. He's not very faithful to be in the same place. He leaves. And then a few years later, this young man comes to Chris, and he says, I want to do that thing that you said. And Chris says, I've said a lot of things. What is it that you want to do? And so he says, you know that Jesus thing where he comes and changes your life thing? So he said to him, okay. And he felt that at that time this young man's character wasn't very trustworthy. So he said to him, okay, if you really want to do that, because he knew the lifestyle that this young man was leading would really need for him to make an actual genuine commitment. He said, if you are really serious about this, come to church on Sunday and I'll meet you there and we can do that thing. So this young man came to church on the Sunday and he gave his heart to the Lord and received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. This young man was Danny Silk. Chris knew him really well because of their town and what was happening there. 2 weeks later, the second time that Danny was at church, a visiting prophet came to speak, and he had been doing workshops and encouragements. This is a story that Chris Valentin tells in this testimony. And this man comes, and while he's standing there, he's giving prophetic words to different people. He's a trusted, proven prophet. He's giving words to different people. And the word that he gives to Danny is this: you will be the next James Dobson. You will go all over the world teaching people about the love of God and the love of family and healthy families. And Chris said, he looked and he thought, I think he's got it wrong. I don't think maybe that's the right person. Because he knew him and he knew him well, but God saw something very, very different. And Chris said the most amazing thing happened. This young man, who was very well known in community for the things that he wasn't doing right, immediately from the day that eternal word was spoken over that young man's life, the entire community started to treat him like he was the next James Dobson. The power of prophecy in community. That whole community rallied around him and saw him like God saw him, because God had opened up eternity for a moment where it was not looking like that for a young man. And this is the power of prophetic community. God calls something that isn't as though it already is. And the whole community comes around that person. And there's a joy and the protection, but also the provision of prophetic community. They started to help him. They started to encourage him. They started to see him differently than how he was seen before. And the testimony speaks for itself. There's a man who influences thousands and thousands and thousands of people on how to love well, how to be a role model, how to get through relationship issues, marriage issues, et cetera, et cetera. And then partners with other amazing women of God to bring a word from this nation to the world on how to do education better with love for the students. And God, amazing. God's amazing. So powerful. Community and prophetic community and being in community brings courage and brings life to us. It brings power, it brings protection, and it brings provision. It brings provision. At one stage, and I'll share briefly, this young lady, who we all know well and has written an amazing book, was seeking God about a few things, and we had just met, and we went up, and we were chatting and got on well and felt that there was a connection from God. I would not have met Bernie if the Lord had not called us to Rivers Apostolic Center. Just wouldn't have happened. But God calls us and plants us for purpose. So we head up the one day just to have some connection time and some prayer at Daisy Hill, just down the road here. And we're there, and you will know if you go to Daisy Hill that quite often they set up little areas at their campfire areas where they put some wood out there. So we've got one of these areas where the barbecue place is. They just put a little bit of wood there. And we're sitting there and we're talking, and we believe God's saying something, and as that happens, the fire ignites on its own. Right here down the road, it's God confirming. As we met just as two ladies in a community, but as we connect with one another in community, the power of God comes to confirm his word, to confirm the purpose for your life, the plan for your life. So be in the vineyard of the Lord. Be in that Carmel place in the Lord. The last place that they meet, and I'm finishing up just a few minutes, this company of seers is the place of Samaria. So Jericho, they've overcome, obviously. Carmel, they didn't meet chronologically in these places. This is just the places where they met. Samaria, we know the word of meaning of Samaria is a watchtower. Or a place of a watch mountain. Like a watch, you know, looking out to see what's happening. And being on the walls and watching. And isn't it amazing the account in the Word of God about Samaria, where Jesus meets a woman who is completely ostracized in society. By her own choices, but also by circumstances. She's not welcome. She's not loved. She doesn't have community. And Jesus comes and he meets with her. And he speaks to her about her life, a word of knowledge. And then he prophesies to her about a day is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. She has a divine connection with God. What does she do? She immediately goes into community and starts telling her community. She immediately brings a message of hope to her community that they accept, and she becomes accepted. God is speaking to people all around the city of Logan, the whole of the Pacific. He is meeting with the people who feel that they do not belong, the people who are ostracized, the people who are in a difficult place. And he is showing himself to them. I'm very excited about the story of Andy Patchett. Is that right, his name? Andy Piggott, who was a young man living in a place of real difficulty in Springwood, in his house, away from God, not listening, not hearing God at all, and God appears to him. And what does God say to him? Go to a community. Go to Tolma Place, where Rivers was meeting at the time. Go there, because there is where you will be loved. There is where you will be accepted. There is where you will grow. We have testimony just now of Andrew Zimmerman having gone and visited with them in New Zealand. So he's a young man in dysfunction, in Springwood, comes to community, gets loved, gets encouraged. We've got photographs all across the back there of Andy praying with young people and having radical transformations and all sorts of things. God obviously calls him to New Zealand. He's out there ministering. This is a man who was definitely ostracized and disenfranchised from the church, from the community. But what does God say to him? Go to community. And from community, he is then what? In the vineyard, in the Carmel. Things happen in his life, obviously a bit of sorting out, a bit of change. And then all of a sudden, he's being called to go out to another place. He's been sent out. And their whole ethos of ministry at this time that God has been speaking to them about is grassroots, being with the people, doing fellowship, doing community, doing love, walking at the speed of relationship. Isn't it powerful what God can do with community? There is provision in community. There is provision for healing. There is provision for growth. There is provision for family where there wasn't family. There is provision for having somebody who loves you speak the truth and love to you, and to love you enough not to leave you the way that you are. To encourage you into the fullness of the Word of God, into what God has said for you. And all around, there's activation happening for our congregation here to receive those who are coming in, but also to go out and to bless those in community. I wanted to encourage us this morning that a prophetic community, which is what Rivers Apostolic Center is, we're under an amazing apostle. Whenever a community is under an apostle, the prophetic will be activated. It opens up the prophetic. And when we are very blessed to have Rory as our apostle, because just being in her company activates the prophetic. The Word of God is very clear. It says, earnestly seek that you should what? Prophesy. So this house is definitely not against prophecy, but it's against relationship. To be able to authentically share a word with one another that's trusted, and then to love one another. Breaking down the walls of doing duty above relationship. Our invitation is relationship. Our invitation is relationship first with God, relationship with one another, and then activation to doing good deeds, right? I want to finish with this. Galatians 6, verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Very interesting. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. Interesting that that's what the starter is. Then it says, for whatever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his impulses, will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. Just a word we have to drop in here quickly. So the word's been going over and over and over in my spirit for the last 2 weeks. Deal with your stuff. Just a word for our community. Deal with your stuff in God, in the secret place, in the quiet place. Because if you don't deal with your stuff will deal with you. Just be encouraged. It's a word. Deal with your stuff. It's a word for our community now because God is preparing us for stuff. And he wants the stuff to be the God stuff and not the other stuff. Okay, so, for the one who sows to the flesh will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap what? Eternal life. And then, for all of us as a community, because it's been a very big year, let us not grow weary or be discouraged in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in. So then, while we as individual believers have opportunity, let us do good to all people, not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being, promoting someone's spiritual well-being, and especially be a blessing to who? The household of faith. Especially be a blessing. So for all of us, I don't know about you, I'm a little bit tired at the end of this year, a little bit tired. It's been a big year. And I want to encourage you that as we encourage one another, let us finish this year strong in the Lord, encouraging each other in well-being, but also spiritual well-being. There's a story at the end of the king's story, which is this. 2 Kings 4 is where we started. We see that Elisha says, put in some flour into the pot. What does flour make? Bread. Who is the bread of life? Jesus. In your difficulty, in your hardship, in your place of death, put in a little bit of Jesus. And it changes the whole recipe, changes the whole mix. But not only that, I feel that this is also a prophetic help to our community. Do not be duped with money making when there is a pressure on finances for our nation. Be very careful to not be caught into having to do more and more and more and more to make money for yourself. It's a trap from the enemy to move you away from engagement with your family and move you away from engagement with the kingdom. So here's this next part. 2 Kings 4, verse 42. Then, same Elisha, a man came from Baal Shalishash, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley, baked from first ripe grain, first fruits, along with some heads of new grain. Give it to the people to eat, Elisha said. How can I set this before 100 men, his servant said. But Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and they will have some left over. Then he set it before them, and they ate, and they had some left over according to the word of God. The provision for your needs is in God and in community and in your community of faith. This word was in a time of famine. This word was when there was not enough bread to go around. But the man of God, in that community, as they have communion together, eating bread together, he says, the one guy says, it's not enough. It's not enough. There's not enough. I only have 20 loaves. There's 100 people. I don't have enough. And he says, give it to the people. Give Jesus to the people. There will be what? More than enough. More than enough. God is more than enough. The word that Andrew keeps on bringing for 2024 is there is what? More in 2024. Bring what you've got. Bring your gifts. Bring your talents. Bring your bread. Bring it into community and see what God will do with it in this coming season. There is more than enough. More than enough. I want us to just stand and just have a time of just worship, allowing the sanctuary of God to operate here, allowing God to move in community. I want us to pray with one another today. Been encouraging us around community today. And as the team plays for us, I want to encourage you to share.